recording. I have my little mic here. Okay.
Recording on my end.
Yeah. Okay. I'm also recording on my end.
Ooh, how is it going? How are you, Haley Blade? Thanks for coming on the pod.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Very good. It's a crazy day. It's a crazy day. Daft Punk, RIP. Are you a fan of Daft Punk? They're not dead. Everyone keeps putting RIP on Twitter, and I thought they died. I woke up, I was like, oh, they're dead. Holy shit. But they're not. They just broke up. They broke up.
Oh, what a shame. I'll miss them.
Were you a fan? did you have any emotion for that band at all? Or
I mean, I definitely listened to... What's the one that
Get
came
lucky.
On? I think one of my first shows I ever did in like a bar, I did a ukulele cover of that. So I was their biggest fan.
People thought I was fucking weird because I was like, who is this? They're like, Daft Punk. I was like, and who is that? And then people were just like, I remember this guy who owned the club was... Yeah, and some guy who owned the club was just like, I knew something was wrong with you. That's what's wrong with you. I was like, oh, okay. I guess I'll take it. Yeah.
Man, rest in peace.
R.I.P.
Their legacy.
They're still alive. They're very much alive. Yeah.
They're thriving, in fact.
they're doing great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought about a few different things I wanted to talk to you about today, but
sure.
It's all derailed because you have changed your hair and now your Instagram. I just saw the post. People are going nuts.
Oh no. Were they all red hair topics?
No, they loved it. They're going, everyone's like, I need to dye my hair now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about your relationship with your fans because I feel like it's super strong. I feel like they like love you, which is crazy. People don't love...
That's cool.
People don't love, you know, internet people. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think when you get to the point when you want to like follow someone on Instagram, you just want to be in the know of their life and it makes you feel like you're friends with them. So yeah, and I guess I have built up a loyal fan base over the years.
Right.
Through YouTube and stuff. So yeah, it's really awesome.
Yeah. And you kind of got your start in, doing YouTube, right?
Yeah.
And what's that kind of been like? I feel like that's, yeah, I don't know. I feel like I neglected my YouTube for so fucking long. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. What's it been like for you starting on YouTube?
It's cool. I think that I was kind of late to the game of utilizing that platform and mixing it with my music brand, if that makes sense. Like I did post like covers and I used that channel to post my music videos for my original stuff, but I never like saw them as like a platform that could be like cohesive.
Right.
It was like two separate entities. Like my YouTube vlogging was me being a complete idiot. And then my music was like, I'm serious. Take me seriously.
Take me serious. Yeah. Do you feel like you've been able to find that in between where you can post both and people and your channel accepts both?
Yeah. Lately, at least personally, I've become more like comfortable with that. Cause I did like compartmentalize them in my brain.
Right.
They were like, they're different lives. They can't coexist. They're two different people. So now I'm like trying to mesh them nicely and organically. That feels right to me. So it's hard. It's weird.
It is hard. Like I've really started focusing on my band's YouTube channel this year, and we did like a jam in the van thing, and I was like, oh, I'll make a vlog, and I did a vlog of it, and someone the first comment was like, I hate vlogs, don't do these.
It's different communities. You have to like learn how, like, what do you want from me then?
Yeah. I don't
catering,
know.
You're catering to so many different audiences at that point. And you're just like, this is free, you know?
Yeah. This YouTube thing is, it's awesome. It's crazy. It's a crazy
really cool.
Landscape. Yeah. Covers. So you kind of started posting covers first.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how is, was that just because you were honing your craft of your own songs, or were you still writing your songs?
Totally. And I think I was like using it. I'm like, this, people don't know my music. They know other people's music. So I'll sing that and maybe they'll find me. You know, it's just, I was being a little strategic, but also some of the covers you look back and you're just like, oh, that's what I was listening to at that time. Right. It's very interesting.
And when did you start? When did you kind of start on YouTube? Because, yeah, go ahead.
I think it was 2013.
How old are you?
Just fresh out of high school. 18.
Fresh out of high school. Whoa.
Wait, what did I say? 2018? Did I say 2018?
I think you said 2013. No.
Okay, perfect.
Right, yeah, 2013, right?
Okay. Yeah, 2013. What year is it anyway?
Right.
Yeah, 2013, fresh out of high school. Just nice. Trying to find friends, find a community.
Yeah, well, what was the original idea? You know? I'm just going to create some videos and post them online, or did you know you wanted to pursue a career in music?
I did, but I didn't think that it was going to come through YouTube. So that was just kind of like the side thing. Right. It's like starting a blog, you know, like just getting a social media profile. I was just like, I'll get on this bandwagon.
Right.
But I didn't think it was going to be something that could host my music in a professional way.
Right.
Know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And when did you really start writing your new record? Like how far into this whole process?
I think Below the Salt is from years like 2017 to 2019. So just a couple years. Yeah, a lot of like my old music you can find on, actually, I don't know. I might have privated it.
Yeah, that's the move. It.
Yeah, you kind of just like, I'm not going to delete this. This is for me, but I'll private it. So only I can enjoy this when I just want to self-loathe for a minute.
2 weeks ago, I talked to Tops, and they gave me a tip for that.
Yeah.
They said, just change the band name. A Tops tip.
Change the band name.
Just change the band name. Change some band members' names. It's gone. The SEO.
That's
destroyed.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I have to go.
I'll be back. Yeah. That's wild. And also, this is a big Canada month for me in the podcast. You live in Canada. Ooh, Tops in Canada.
Nice.
I just talked to Ron Sexsmith, also Canada.
Cool. Big, you're hitting all over the map. East Coast, West Coast.
Zoom, zoom, zoom. You know, yeah.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Makes your heart go boom, boom. I watched that movie the other day. Have you seen that movie, Xenon Girl, the 21st Century?
Yes, but not for many a year.
Oh, I think it's worth a revisit.
I think so. Yeah, okay.
It's pretty weird.
I think that. And
obviously,
I can do that.
It's laughable, like the references in it. Like
it's iconic.
It's
yeah.
It's so good. What have you been doing during the quarantine? How have you been coping? How have you been living? How's it going?
Probably just as well as any other person. Time has no meaning anymore.
Right.
You decide you want to dye your hair brown one day, and you do it.
It's causing
drinking
a
lot of coffee.
Right.
Yeah, just trying to write music, I've been rearranging my living room every day, so that's fun.
That is fun.
Because you're going to be in here all the time, like, change up your scenery.
Have we found a suitable layout for the living room? Have we found a good groove of good feng shui?
I think we're in a good place right now. I probably won't touch it for another 2 weeks or so.
Yeah.
So I think we're doing well.
Nice.
Yeah.
As far as writing, like a lot of people I've talked to, like they're just like, I'm trying to write, but what the fuck do I write about? I don't do anything anymore. Like,
yeah,
how are you finding inspiration?
I'm trying not to force it. I think that just like, that's a good tactic to have because I definitely am trying to write when I have like a deadline instead of just waiting for something to spark. But of course, that's been harder this year because it's like, there's nothing to write about, so I can't write unless I just have this like brilliant idea that comes to my head and I just have to run out of the shower and write it down. But
and are we talking about self-imposed deadlines? Like, oh, I want to get this done by
It's okay. Been hard. Like, I never used to write that way. I never used to be the person who's like, okay, I'm gonna sit down and write a song. It was just like, I'm walking down the street and I see like a cool phrase, or like I overhear something and I'm like, that's interesting, I'm gonna steal that.
Yeah.
A lot of theft. Creative theft.
Exactly. I heard someone reviewed my last record and they're just saying like it's derivative. I was like, all music is derivative.
We just have to accept that.
Just like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. That's not a critique anymore, in my opinion.
I won't talk too much shit on this person, but I will have one more thing to say about this reviewer. I shouldn't be paying attention to reviewers. Like, I don't know how you feel about people who review, and you can answer this in a question, but like, his channel was literally copying Anthony Fantano, the needle drop. I was like, let's talk about Derivity real quick. I didn't say that because like the YouTube video had like 5 views, but like, I was like, let's talk about,
how do you feel? Nice plaid shirt.
Nice shaved head melon. How do you feel about the, did you pay attention to any of the reviews that came out about your record? I feel like that's a self-care
thing. I did. There wasn't too many, which was cool. Because I didn't have to like scroll through and find all the negative ones. But I really like reading what people have to say at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about the new record? It's kind of been out. When did it officially come out? In August?
Yeah, it's been out for like 100 years.
Yeah.
I'm over, like, at this point, you know, it just feels like, it feels as though it's been out for so long. I'm mentally over it.
Right.
But I'm still excited that people can listen to it. But it's weird having put out a record, never tour it. And by the time maybe you go on tour again, you have something else to promote. So you're like, this maybe is a record that I don't even touch live. Right. Well, I'm sure I will. There's maybe some tracks, but like, I'm not gonna tour the whole record, which is I kind of had to like let it go as soon as it came out, you know?
Yeah, because that's the fun part. You release a record, then you hit the road, and then you play these songs live, and then you get tired of them, and then you write new ones. But now it's like, when the world eventually opens back up again, we're gonna, well, we don't have to, but we're gonna want a tour, and I'm gonna have new stuff and the old stuff. I don't know. And it seems like you have like a lot of EPs out. Is this, I guess, considered your first debut record?
Yeah, that was my debut record for sure.
And
for sure.
Yeah. And then so working on a set list, like how much of the stuff from the EP was eventually going to go to your live set? Or did we not even get to that part because of quarantine?
I probably would have played a couple deep cuts. I do like being nostalgic all the time. So yeah, it would have been a mixture of probably everything, more heavy album listing. But I mean, you probably, even in the next tour I have, will just be like a bunch of old songs too. I like playing the old ones. Give us the good time rock and roll. Give us the ones they know, you
know? Less talk, more rock. That's what they say, you know? And what about covers? Would you do covers live?
I love doing covers. I love doing ironic early 2000s.
Oh.
Like, I had an idea for the tour that we didn't go on. I really wanted to do Big Girls Don't Cry by Fergie.
Yeah.
And make that kind of one, like a rock anthem, a ballady, kind of sad girl version of it. But I don't know. Now I'm like, who knows? I do like doing covers though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anything from the early 2000s is making its way back. I feel like we just left the 90s. Like, the 90s revival came and went.
Yeah.
And now it's time for the Y2K revival.
I've been just on repeat listening to, like, early Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Sheryl Crow.
Oh, yeah.
They're some of, like, the songbirds of my generation. They shaped me.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's true.
And as a aging elder millennial, it's time for me to step by and let the next, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think also, the generation before me was like, oh, why do you guys like the 90s so much? Like, I had older people tell me that, like, why do you guys obsess over the 90s? That was like a weird time in my life.
Right.
And now I'm like, why are you guys obsessing over Y2K? That was like a really weird time in my life. But so I've accepted that this is how things work. And I'm like, oh, I'm just not going to be that old guy at the bar complaining about Y2K. I'm just going to let the kids have fun.
Let the kids have their cake.
Britney and Justin wearing all denim. Let's do it again. The high rise jeans. The low rise jeans. I'm here for it.
I'm here for it. I'm thriving.
Oh man. I watched the live video you guys did live at Fox Cabaret.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that must have been nice because that must have been kind of like a show.
It did totally feel like a show because we had the stage lights on, so I couldn't see if there was a crowd or not, which there wasn't.
Yeah.
So it did it for a second when we were playing, I kind of like regressed back and I was like, we're playing a show right now. And then we ended it and it was just like, my manager went, I was like, oh, actually, maybe this is a show.
Yeah, this is more like what I'm used to, the silence after a song ends.
Like, yeah, just like, get off the stage.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think I saw a lot of people do those kind of sessions this year, and it's like, it felt fucking great to like, just, what was like the pre-production? That must have felt good, just like practicing again.
Yeah, I rented a rehearsal space, right. You know, we had the boys come in, got the band back together again.
Right.
And it was really fun. But I felt like the stakes were lower too. So it was like, because there's not going to be immediate gratification or like my nerves weren't as high. I do have a little bit of stage fright or like just pre-show jitters a lot.
Right.
So this time was a lot more chiller. But then again, there's the fact that it's going to be immortalized on the internet. So that's scary too.
What do you do for pre-show jitters? Do you have a pre-show routine?
No, just hoping it goes well.
Do you do any vocal warm-ups?
Yes. Yeah.
Really? Okay. What do you do? I don't do vocal warm-ups, and I feel like as I'm getting older, I need to start.
Yeah, it's a part like of pre-show vocal warm-ups and then arranging the set in a way that like I don't have the hard songs first and I kind of warm up throughout the set. Mm. But I was classically trained, so I have a couple of those techniques, you know, like lip trills, what's
the solar plexus stuff? Oh,
just like tss, tss, tss. And you know, I kind of you'll hear me back and be like, oh! Right. And just like, oh!
Right,
so that's fun.
Wait, what was the first one? Triples. What's that?
Lip trills. Like,
yeah. What's that? Oh.
I'll give you a lesson for free. We'll carry on after this.
I know. I had like some older bands when I was on tour tell me that, oh, you gotta start warming up your voice, man. You're young right now, but like it's gonna. I was like, okay, whatever, old timer. And then I hit the road and I was like, oh, after day 20, you're like,
oh. Yeah, especially on tour. Like,
right.
Because I was definitely in the same, one of my first tours, I was like, let's just like freaking go, who cares, rock and roll. And I was like, no, I need to be good. I need to be a good little girl.
Right. Do you smoke?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't either. And I always figured like.
I said that sad. I was like, no.
No.
No, I don't. Should I?
You could start. Sometimes people make you feel weird when you say you don't, though. You don't? Like, anything?
On the road, yeah.
Yeah, like, anything?
Well,
I mean,
sometimes I smoke weed time to time, but never, like, because I'm scared of ruining my throat. So it's like, I'll do, like, a vape or something, or, like, an edible. But a joint, I'm like...
Oh. Have you had any weird times doing edibles?
Definitely in my youth.
Right.
Being at Sasquatch Music Festival.
Ooh.
That was a live and learn situations.
Who was that Sasquatch the year moment. You went?
I've been multiple times. I was a big Sasquatch head in high school.
I love it.
But I think it was like Mumford and Sons era, yes, like Macklemore.
Yes.
I remember one year Tame Impala went and everyone's like, they're so cool. You haven't heard of them? And I was like, I just really want to go eat pizza. And me and my friend just like went and ate pizza. And then like the next year, they're like, they're the biggest band in the world. And we're like, meh. Oops.
Oops, I missed it. Yeah.
Yeah. Could have been there, but whatever.
Yeah. Everyone, that's one of those bands everyone kind of like always talk to me about. And I'm like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
If Kevin Parker, if you're watching this, yes, I will open for you. But no, I haven't been able to connect with them. Yeah.
I'll do anything you say, but I won't listen to your record.
I'll just, you know, I'll meet you backstage and be like, good set, dude.
Yeah, just like, can I borrow your amp?
Yeah. Can I borrow your amp? Yeah. Festivals. Have you played a lot of festivals? Do you like festivals as a performer or even as an attendee?
I do like festivals a lot. I haven't had the chance. Maybe that's because I haven't had the chance to play a lot of them. I've done many local festivals, but nothing international. And I would love to. I think it would be fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are there a lot of artists that do the festival circuit and then hate it? I don't know. I feel like it's a loved tradition.
I don't know. I haven't really talked to a lot of people who do festivals. Like, Tops was doing arenas right before the parent, not they were opening in an arena.
Yeah.
And they said there was like a really weird like disconnect. Like
you totally, I would get that.
You couldn't feel the crowd like at all.
Yeah.
It was just like they're all ants and they're just roaring and you're like, all
right. Some loud ants.
This is fucking weird. And you know, yeah, this is very strange. Yeah. And it was also in Germany. And she said that, they didn't get any of the jokes, so she just didn't talk in between the songs. I was like, oh, yeah, that's rough.
That's true. I've never thought about that disconnect, too, like a language barrier. Just being like, well, we're just going to motor through these because it doesn't matter what I say.
Absolutely.
That would actually be great for me because I always do get like part of my stage fright is stage banter and being like, am I going to tell a joke and no one's going to laugh? Or am I going to have good material? Like, this is a comedy set for me.
Right, right.
But maybe if I went to Europe, I could just be like, hello, how are you? And it True. Would just be very casual and super stress-free. I got to get to Germany.
Have you ever thought about doing stand-up? Have you tried stand-up?
I haven't. I don't think I could do it. If I'm even scared about doing comedy at a concert, I don't think I could do it. Comedy set.
Yeah,
oh my God.
Definitely. I think about it all the time. Every time a joke hasn't worked on stage, I'm like, all right, next song now. Like, Noted. Make noise. Like,
yeah.
Take away this totally. Awful feeling of bombing. Like, but when there's no band now, I'm just, and I will bomb on stage. Like, it happens quite often. Yeah. Oh, man. Let's see. I asked the internet for some questions and.
Cool.
There's some questions. Here we go. When will Virginia be on Spotify?
Oh, oops. I just trashed the place.
That's what this, what's the story behind Virginia? Is it not on Spotify? It's making you go crazy.
I don't think it ever will be. It lives on YouTube. You can find it on, I think you can find it on my Bandcamp. I might have privated that too. But, hydrate, my man.
Dude, you do enough of these podcasts.
You gotta have the 10 liter.
Right.
The gallon.
Oh, my girlfriend was influenced by an influencer. And here we
are. Oh, is that the ones that have like, keep going, you're good.
You got the goals.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah, you've been influenced.
Yeah, I feel it.
But yeah, sorry, about Virginia. It's a song you have, or what's the story behind that song?
Yeah, I think it was one of like the first songs I released that I put it on an EP or I can't remember.
When you were 18, when did you write it?
Yeah, 18, 19.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't want that online either.
No. Yeah, and it was one of the first songs I ever had, like, professionally recorded.
Oh, okay.
And so it's just, like, when I listened to it, I remember being in the studio and just, like, sitting and just being like, cool, sounds good. Like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
yeah, exactly. I know exactly.
Why am I even here? Like, literally just go and do it. I don't care. But yeah, probably not on Spotify.
Yeah. No, I don't want anything I've ever done when I was 18 online. Like those are the worst. Well, they're formative. They're supposed to be bad though.
I know. Unfortunately, I have a lot of it.
I know.
But at least it's not too much music. It's just kind of me being like, hey guys.
Like when you think about growing up on the internet and on YouTube, like how do you feel about that? Are you going back and like deleting old videos because you're like, okay, this is me at 18, I'll private this video? Like
I haven't really yet because I just don't really give it that much thought.
Right.
It doesn't bother me too much, but maybe there'll be a time when I do a little purge and I'm like,
right,
this is kind of, and it wouldn't be just for like, oh, I don't want anyone to see this. It's more like, I don't relate to this, I don't really know this person. I'm just gonna privately, like, I don't want people to think that that's who I am because I don't resonate with her.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
It's a constant growth. We're constantly growing.
Yeah. I want, and but it's fun to show the growth too. So I don't know. We'll see.
Absolutely. Yeah. I went back and I was like, well, let's go watch the first video. Let's get crazy before this interview. And I did. And I was like, wow, really young. You're really putting
of
yourself
my?
Out there. Yes.
Oh, what was it?
You had blonde hair and you, I can't remember what you were talking about in the video.
Probably. Like my favorites.
Yeah, there's
Something
lots of
like
favorites.
That. My favorites video.
At Urban Outfitters Hall.
Ugh, love that place.
Love that place. yeah, there's a lot of that kind of stuff on there. Here's another question: Red Bull or red wine? Love from Elliot and Eve.
Aw, hi guys. I know them.
Yeah.
I would say red wine at this point, but if you had asked me when I was like 18, 19, 20,
Red
21,
Bull.
Red Bull, I was obsessed with Red Bull. Like unhealthily obsessed with
really?
Red Bull. Yeah. And what's I haven't touched it since.
What's on your rider?
You know, I haven't played too many shows where they're like, where we give
Need
a rider.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, like, if they do, I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Don't worry. What can I get you?
Yeah. How can I help you?
Yeah, probably just like, I like really shitty concert beer.
Right.
I find like in quarantine this last year, when I've been drinking alcohol, it's been at home and I've been like, I deserve the best. So right. I'm getting good stuff because I'm like, we're treating ourselves. We deserve this.
Of course,
this.
Yeah.
But I recently had like a cheap PBR and I was like, I miss this.
Right.
There's something about like really shitty beer that you pay $10 for that like right. I really missed. Overpriced concert beer.
We had there's a bar right down the street from my house and they had $5 tall boys of PBR and it was country night every Wednesday. It was amazing. I wasn't even there for the line dancing and all that, but like I'd see it, I'd get the PBRs, I'd walk home. It was amazing.
You know a good deal when you see one.
I had friends who committed. They would dress up as cowboys.
Yeah.
They fully committed, but I didn't fully commit.
That's fun.
Maybe one of my biggest regrets. One of them, yeah.
Just
wait,
one of them.
What's the Vancouver cheap beer? You know, I think like Seattle has Olympia. There's Rainier. What? Texas has Lone Star. Lone Star's delicious. What's like the Vancouver
one? I would say... PBR is pretty prominent. Like cool. Everyone I know is like, that's the cheap, shitty beer. We have one called Good Company. That's kind of like on the same. That's a local. It's like $4 beer.
Sick.
It's the same vibe as PBR. Oh, Sneaky Weasel.
Sneaky Weasel.
Yeah. That Ooh. Is trash in a can.
Really?
Yeah.
That is it absolute. Tall cans? Do you get them in like 30 packs or what are we thinking?
Just pretty average, but it's just like,
yeah.
Disgusting.
Oh.
Tastes like liquid metal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know? I know exactly what you're talking about.
You're just like, okay. Well, I'll get a six pack.
Like natural ice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just straight up liquid metal. Oh, my God.
Amazing.
What are the criteria to become your friend?
Oh, at this point, just breathe.
Be COVID free?
Yeah, be COVID free. Totally. Know how to hold a conversation because I don't anymore. Yeah. Just carry the whole conversation and I'll just smile and nod and be like, wow, that was amazing. Thank
That's
you.
Honestly the whole point of this podcast. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, I haven't talked to a stranger for an extensive period of time in a long time. So
this is nice.
I hope this isn't too bad for you.
No, I feel great.
Okay, good.
I've definitely had other podcasts where I'm just like, Zoom has made it so like sterile. Like it'd be so different if we were face to face, but like Zoom has made it so like, I like prepare like too much now because you can't just like, it's just not as fluid. I have to have questions prepared now, which is like something I didn't like doing prior.
Totally. And like, you don't know if I'm just staring at myself the whole time.
I literally put the questions in front of my face.
Yeah.
So I don't look at myself. Don't look at my room. No, my bed's not made. It's fine. I'll figure it out.
I had piles of laundry behind me, and I'm like, well, I'm just gonna. It's impeccably clean in here.
You had a podcast, though, didn't you?
I did for a hot minute with one of my best friends, Joanna.
Yeah.
And that was
how was that?
It was fun, but it definitely like ran its course. We weren't gonna do it for more than a year. I think we only did it for a year. And she was in LA and I was here. And honestly, it was Zoom would have really come in handy back then.
Right. How are you doing it?
We were just doing like FaceTime audio. I'd have like earbuds in with these over it. So like there was no bleed. It was exactly the setup.
Right.
But I couldn't, and I feel like if we had seen each other, it was just hard doing it like long distance. But it would have been easier if we were just doing this.
Do you see yourself doing it again with Joanna? Who's Joanna?
Joanna Spicer. She is a fellow YouTube queen.
Oh, cool.
Influencer extraordinaire. I think we're both like, no, we won't do it again. No.
No.
And all the episodes got wiped from Weirdly, all the episodes got wiped. I don't know how that happened. Yeah. No, like, it was strange. We logged in one day, or someone was like, I can't find the episodes, and we logged in, and they were gone. And we're like, did you do this? And she was like, no, did you do this? And we're like, no.
It's considered a blessing.
Yeah, guess, weird so. Blessing in disguise.
You know what? My girlfriend's a huge fan of you and Joanna. Now I know who Joanna is.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's awesome.
Took me a second, but I'm there.
We're there.
Cool. Someone asked, will you marry me?
Probably not.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it was worth a shot.
Yeah. I don't know them, you know.
Strangers.
It's just hard. Long distance would be hard.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Have you done long distance before?
I have for a very brief time. My current partner lived in Toronto for 3 months.
Oh, that's on the East Coast. Okay.
Yeah. So we were long distance for 3 months, and then he moved back to Vancouver.
Oh, that must have been tough. 3 months. That's a long time.
It felt like an eternity.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, that was fun. We could do that again if you want to give me some space. Just kidding.
That's what the quarantine's doing. Though. Maybe I could use it.
I'm like, let's have some excitement. Why don't you like move out? Just kidding. I'm kidding. I don't know if you can hear me.
I love it. I was going to say something. Oh, touring in Canada. I haven't played any shows in Canada. I tried to go to Toronto and they're like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I'm going to play music. And they're like,
hello?
You didn't tell anyone? I was like, no, I thought I just crossed the border. And then they said, go home.
Oh, like visa wise?
Right. I didn't do any of that because I just wasn't really aware. Like, what is the tour route in Canada? Like, it seems like there's Vancouver and Toronto and then the woods in the middle.
Yeah, I've done the whole Cross Canada tour 2 times.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically you just truly just drive across the country and get to Toronto.
Right.
If you're in Toronto, it's usually like over and down and into like New York and stuff. But you do need a visa, which is annoying and expensive. But
very expensive and annoying.
Yeah. And my last tour, we started on the East Coast and we went down across America and came up, which was really fun. And I think that was just more fun. Canada, yeah. There's like a couple hotspots you go in to, and then you like reach Ontario and you're there for 3 days driving across it. It's just so vast.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it so beautiful vast. Though?
Ontario,
isn't one of those things where like it's beautiful or it's just like nothing?
Ontario isn't that gorgeous the whole way through. I would say like the drive in general across Canada is beautiful.
Right.
But there are like the prairies are cool, but like once you get to just like this flat land where you're like looking at the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, you're like, where am I? What is this? But I would say the West Coast is definitely the most beautiful. I haven't been to the Maritimes though, which is like the east.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I would love to go to. It looks like the most beautiful place.
Yeah. Is that where they speak French?
No, that's Quebec.
Okay.
I'm talking like Nova Scotia, Newfoundland. Like, they're just trailing off the side of the continent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that
it's really
easy,
cool there.
Is that easy to access, like in a van?
Yeah, you could drive there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's just like beside Ontario.
Uh-huh.
Farthest.
Wow.
Left, right? I don't know.
Sure.
Left, right.
Yeah, because... that area past Ontario that we were just talking about, like the equivalent in America is like the Dakotas, Kansas. Mm. It's like that part gets very brutal.
Yeah, like, monotonous. You're like same tree, same hill.
We're still in Kansas, guys. We've been still here.
Looks like we're still here.
Hey, we're still here. We got to get to Denver. Holy shit. Like, yeah. It makes me realize how big, you know, the United States is and how big Canada is and how there's really not that many people living here. You think you live, you know, you go to LA, you go to New York, you're like, wow, there's so many people. And then you're like, well, go to the rest of the United States, go to the rest of Canada. You'll find a lot of land there if you're looking for it.
Totally. A lot of land, which is kind of nice.
This is kind of like, that's like the, you know, I noticed a lot of people. And I even had that feeling too. Did you have that feeling of like, maybe I should get out of the city and go to one of these small towns where there's cheap rent?
Oh my God. If I could live in Nova Scotia, I would.
Yeah.
I've never been there and I was just like, I'll move there. I'll start over.
Right. Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
There's absolutely a few different places. I was like, maybe I go to Boise. Who's in Boise? Oh my God. I love Boise.
I've been to Boise. It's awesome. Boise. It's really cool.
Yeah. Definitely cheaper than California. I'm like, maybe I should get out of here. But now I have this like weird California pride where I'm tired of hearing people complain about California. I'm like, I'm staying.
Yeah. Where in California are you?
It's like Central Coast. It's like an hour north of Los Angeles. It's called Santa Barbara. Cool. It's like the last it's like the last beach town before it turns into like what you would think of the North Carolina, North California being like.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Did Haley always want to be a musician? Sorry, I don't mean to say it in a weird way. I don't mean to the audience. I don't mean to say your questions like, here's another boring. No, I'm kidding. Go.
It's just, I'm laughing because my dad yesterday sent me this essay I wrote when I was 13 that kind of said what I wanted to be when I grew up.
Yeah.
Which was many things. First of a Hollywood actress, not just an actress in general. It has to be maintained in Hollywood. And or a classical singer, because that's when I was doing opera. And if that didn't pan out, I would enjoy being a veterinarian or a Titanic researcher.
Like, okay. You love the movie.
I was obsessed with the Titanic, but my brother pointed out, he was like, you wanted to be a Titanic researcher? So like, if you got the job, you'd show up and be like, all right, guys, what happened here? I wanted to learn about the history.
Yeah.
Like, guys, can you fill me in? This sunk?
Yeah.
And it's at the bottom of the ocean? Okay, I'm taking notes.
What can we do? Can we bring it back up?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're trying to think of creative waves, like, to revise it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So those were my hopes and dreams when I was 13.
I guess you could. I guess you still could, right? Didn't James Cameron put like millions of dollars to restoring it underground?
Oh, really?
Something like that.
I don't know. Crazy. Well, I was one of those Titanic snobs that was like, you know, this isn't even like Rose and Jack didn't even exist.
But, yeah.
Some of these characters are historically accurate. okay, we don't care. This is a Chili's.
I remember asking my fifth grade teacher, like, do you think Jack and Rose were real? He's like, maybe. I was like, oh, that's a nice teacher. He did not let me down.
Yeah, he's like, I'm sure they were. They died brutal deaths.
Oh, shit. And Rose lived. She could have put Jack. Do you think Jack could have fit on that piece of wood at the end?
I never understood that argument because it clearly shows he tries to and it flips over.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta.
And she like falls off, and so he's like, "No, it's too dangerous for me to try." I'm like, it's obvious.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been as buoyant.
It wouldn't have.
Or it would have been hard because she's this tiny little waif of a woman.
Right. Right.
And she would have flown off, flown away.
From Jack, who's so heavy.
Yeah, he's
such a large man, right? My God. God, I love it. Yeah, that's a crazy movie. Did you have the VHS? You remember when it came in like four VHSs? He had to like stop
box
it. Like,
set. All
right, time the box set.
I remember of four. Yeah.
They were watching it. It was like a family party and they were watching it and they told, okay, all the kids, it was the drawing scene, you know, where you see her nipple. Okay, all the kids out. So we all had to get out and leave. Yeah, so I didn't see. I hadn't seen that scene until I was like a teen. I was like,
oh my God, I rewatched the Titanic 2 weeks ago for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Any new thoughts on it or still consistent?
Still holds up. Definitely still holds up.
Is it one of your favorite movies? Do you have a favorite movie?
It's like one of my, it's a movie that I will rewatch if someone asks me to. I don't know if it's my favorite movie. Like it's not, there's nothing special about it other than like, it's just this gigantic movie. It just like is this huge cinematic movie.
Right.
My favorite movie is E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I saw E.T. Remember it was like kind of controversy in the mid-2000s when they re-released it, but they took away the guns and gave him walkie-talkies?
Yeah, and they animated him.
Right.
Yeah. He was CGI'd.
Did you see it in theaters? Did you know the original? And then were you one of the people who were upset?
I didn't watch that version.
Okay.
I came to love E.T. later in my life. Like, I used to watch it a lot as a kid.
Right.
And then I didn't for, like, ever. And then when I was 20, I rewatched it, and I was like, have you guys seen this? It's so good. So I've been obsessed with it ever since.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
E.T. Phone Home.
Phone Home.
Shit, man, I gotta rewatch that movie too. There's just a lot of movies I just haven't. I don't know. I didn't spend my quarantine watching movies.
Mm.
Like, I know some people did that and they're like, I watched everything on Netflix already. I'm like, I didn't do any of that.
Yeah, I haven't really been binging. I only recently binged seasons of a TV show and I was like, right. I haven't done this in a year at least.
Right.
What show? It felt good.
What show did you watch? What did you watch?
I binged Search Party. I'd seen the first two seasons.
Is that
and
good?
Then the last two seasons came out and I was watching it. It's so good. Oh my God, it's so good. It's one of my favorite shows for sure.
Ooh, I gotta watch it.
It's so good. I would rewatch it right now just on the spot. It's fun. There's only a couple shows that I've finished and I'm like, I could rewatch this immediately.
Right.
I think it's that and Fleabag. Because I did do Fleabag with Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That show ended and I immediately watched it again.
Are you a big fan of Phoebe?
Waller-Bridge or Bridgers? Both.
Both. let's go both.
Both. I like the dynamic duo.
Yeah. I get them mixed up in my head a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fair enough.
She's an actress? Whoa, she does everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you watch the SNL thing where she smashed the guitar?
I did.
Were you offended or did you go like, that's awesome? What were your
opinions on it? Yeah, I was just like, do your thing. I didn't think anything of it.
Right.
You know, I wasn't like, why did she do that? I was just like, she smashed a guitar. Interesting. Go off. Smash guitar more.
I guess I just like woke up the next morning. And I was like, what happened on SNL last night? Oh, why are you mad? Does it matter?
I think what I did think about was like, it's interesting to plan to smash a guitar.
Yes.
Because in my head, I'm like, it always is just like in the moment, but maybe mm-hmm. all guitar smashes are like pre-planned.
Yeah.
And that to me, I'm like, that's kind of takes the magic out of it for me a little bit.
You peel back the curtain.
Yeah. I'm like, this was planned. Interesting.
All of this was planned.
Yeah.
The monitor is fake and it had sparks. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of those moments, like, the deeper you get into playing music and being in the industry, you're like, oh, these tours are, like, all predetermined who's opening for who.
Yeah, oh, it doesn't just magically happen.
You mean the Strokes just don't ask you to open for them?
Like, yeah, I know, it's funny.
It's kind of heartbreaking, but I don't know. Do you like that kind of stuff? Do you like the behind the scenes?
I do. Stuff. I like seeing the cogs in the machine.
Right. The music industry's turning.
Yeah, totally. And I'm just like, I like to plan a lot. So I love that there's a lot of planning that goes into stuff like that. And so like the idea of planning to smash a guitar, I'm like, that's something I would totally do. I just didn't think it was an option.
Planning. Or what's your sign?
I'm a Virgo.
Virgo, there you go. This is all.
That's why I was waiting here at 11:59. I'm like, okay, we zoom at noon. I'm promptly here.
Oh, I was just sitting here watching.
Oh, good.
I had a small window with your music videos playing, and then I was like, I'll see here when we're the participant side, and then I'll just.
Man, I'm punctual. I'm never late.
That's crazy. I'm always late. I'm a Taurus, so I'm absolutely always late. Like,
I have to go.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
You do not. It's brutal when we're on tour and we're like, yeah, we got time. We got like 3 hours before the show. Oh, no, the time changes. Oh, shit. Now we're 2 hours late.
Oh, my God. No.
That happens all the time to me.
Oh, no.
I need a tour manager, to be perfectly honest, because I need like a Virgo tour manager.
It helps so much to have someone to do it, even though I would love to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you gotta get some help.
This is my Haley. Will you be my Virgo tour manager?
Send me the deets.
So yeah, but to get back on music videos, I was watching your new music videos before we hopped on this Zoom, and Too Good. I was watching the Too Good video. Do you like doing music videos? Because for me, I feel like they're kind of long days standing around. Like, how do you feel about that?
As
being a Hollywood actress.
Yes, it is my calling. Right. I love them all. I've only recently kind of stepped into this era where when there's a music video involved, I'm stepping back like creatively.
Right.
And letting everyone else do the work. And it is quite amazing.
Uh-huh.
But I also do love being like in control. So a lot of my older music videos were just conceptualized, recorded. Like I did everything for them, of course, because like, I'm sure there's so many musicians that's just what you do because you don't have the team behind you to do
right.
it. And now just stepping into this new era of like, people can do it for you and you don't have to do anything is right. refreshing and also super strange.
Is that kind of like a weight lifted off your shoulders? Like, oh.
I think, yeah, I didn't realize it was.
Was it hard to let go of some of that control though?
Yeah. But I think like, so Be Your Own Muse and Too Good were like the first two experiences right. where they were like, let's just, we got it under control. Don't worry about it. And like, I was like, okay. So I don't need to do anything. They're like, no, just show up. And I'm like, what? Like, you don't even need me to cater. Like,
right.
I don't even need to bring food.
Right.
I don't need to produce anything. Just show up and just stand there and sing or something. Cool. Okay.
I have a question now. Be Your Own Muse. Was that after the bar closed or before the bar opened, like early in the morning?
It was, I think that bar opens late at night.
Right.
Or only on certain days.
Right.
So it was just closed to the public in general, and we were just okay. able to get in for free.
Okay. That's nice.
I think it was free. I mean, I don't know. They did the work.
They did the work. But like, I definitely had to show up at a bar for a music video like at 4 a.m. and it Ooh. Sucked.
Oh, damn.
I was like, it's still dark out, so people won't know. I was like, can't you just do it when it's fucking dark out? Like,
yeah.
I'm like falling asleep and they're like, come on, it's time to shoot. I'm like, oh, just like barely waking up. I really loved the Too Good video. I really loved that song. It kind of had like a Kate Bush vibe. What were some of the references going into that? Like running up this hill?
Totally.
Right.
When we were in the studio, they're like, it needs like that Dude. Percussive running up that, like literally was referenced. Yeah, I think that was a track that Tennis produced with me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they just kind of knew what they were doing. It was initially just like a little piano ballad or just on an organ, and it was going to be like a very short kind of intro song to the album. And they're like, let's make it, just write another verse and we'll make it a big thing and just have like this percussive thing and like keep it driving and kind of poppy. Definitely the most like pop-driven song that we started working on that I've ever released or produced. So that was fun. Yeah.
Is that who produced the whole record, Tennis?
They produced half of the album because they were only in town for a certain amount of time.
Okay.
And we released like a bunch of singles. So they were like, let's have them on board to produce the singles and then we'll finish the rest when we can.
Mm. So how long did it take to actually finish this record? To do all the basic tracking?
August, then we took a break for fall and then came back for December. It was like 2.5 months.
Was there a feeling like, oh, are we going to finish this record?
I knew we were.
Okay.
I knew we were. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do like to take my time. So I'm like, if things take, like, I'll just let things run their course. If it needs to take this long, it will, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
As far as players, was it the band that you currently have now or?
Yeah. My touring band is the same as my live band.
Cool.
For the most part. My guitarist, her name's Lindsay. She's in Babe Corner, my other band.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's ever like scheduling conflicts or she has her own empire she's working on, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But usually it's the same band in and out of the studio.
Oh, that's awesome. That makes for like I don't know, because there's different stages, right? There's the stage of where you write the project, then playing it live changes the songs a little bit, going to the studio changes the songs a little bit. Were you able to have that process with the consistent members, or were things changed? Like, where were things changed the most, do you think?
I don't know, because we never really had a chance to play these live in their full form. I would say that it would be simpler on stage, because I do have a tendency to like add too many synths and keyboards. Then I'm like, we can't have 100 of these on stage. We can only have like one. So it's going to be a lot more like broken down, which I think is nice, because it like humbles the song and it's just simpler and for my brain. But yeah, I don't know. My bandmates are just super consistent and really talented musicians. So
that's
I have faith that it will translate well no matter what.
You mentioned, you know, Too Good. Were there any other songs that made like a big change like that, where you thought they were just going to be one way and then they ended up a whole different way?
Too Good. On a Weekend became a lot more like funky and dark. Like, there's a lot of dark synths that were like, let's make this kind of like the beginning of SVU or something, like very kind of ominous and weird. Dark, Rob the Original definitely started out a lot more like sad and long. It had like this huge long outro that was like 2 minutes of just instrumental, and Tennis produced this track too, and they're like, let's make this like more of a pop song. And it's more like cruisy, and they're like, if you want to do the long outro, you can do it live. And I was like, well, that sounds great. And then I never get to do it live. What, you couldn't predict that this was going to happen, Pat?
Elena? What the hell? Yeah, that's that compromise. Yeah, I'm willing to make a compromise, and then your side of the deal never gets to flourish.
Yeah. You're like, but I'm like, I do like the way the song came out. It's definitely more like effective for a listener. And I'm like, everything that I wrote is still in there. It's not like we cut lyrics.
Right.
Or anything that was like the intention of the song, which is cool, because I don't like to compromise like the creative integrity of the music. So
did you like having like a producer coming in, and like, were you able to like give up that kind of ego part of it and like have them put their stamp on your songs?
Yeah, it was a learning experience. I'd never done it before. So like there was a moment where I was like, do I want to give this up? But also, like, I'm big fans of them. I love their music and I love their songwriting. So, like, I was pretty trustworthy of their opinions. And there was always, like, if we have an idea that I didn't like, let's go through with it. And in the end, if I do like it or if I don't like it, we'll see.
Right.
So it's always just, like, follow through on the ideas. Let's see how they turn out. And if I don't like it, then we don't need to use it. So there was, like, that freedom that I had the final say, but it was really interesting working with other people who aren't me.
Because prior to that, was it just you like recording like, you know, at home, or?
It was me making like the executive decisions. And for my last EP, Let Yourself Go, that was with my bandmates, my drummer, Brendan Doyle, and my guitarist, keyboardist, Trevor Lang. And they kind of like produced and engineered it for me. But I was like making the calls, and you know, and it was cool having people come in and have these disconnect, like they didn't have an emotional connection to the songs.
Right.
The way I did, they're just like, this would sound better. And you have to like let go what you wrote musically, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. It was cool. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. What was your question?
It's all about the craft. It's all about the craft, man.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
The craft of songwriting. It's fine. We don't have to talk about the craft. Next week's episode is Ron Sexsmith, and that's all craft. You know, he's like, have you listened to his music at all?
He sounds really familiar. I don't know.
Feist covered him on her first album, Secret Heart. He wrote that song, so it's like that's a very like songwriter episode. I'm like, oh, this one's cool. This one's for the nerds. Like,
yeah.
If you're a songwriting nerd, this is the episode. Like, but we can talk about. I think I have another question here.
Sure.
How excited was she to tour with Peach Pit?
So excited, excited. Yeah. They're my buddies. You know, it was going to be so
have
fun.
Have you known them for a while?
Yeah, many years. And, well, I mean, Lindsay. In Babe Corner, my other band, I play bass in Babe Corner.
Okay.
Her fiance is Chris from Peach Pit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would have been fun to go on tour, because she would plays guitar for me. And so I'm like, it would have been just so great
Ah,
for them to be on tour together. They've never had to tour together. And so I'm like, let's do it for the kids, for the lovers.
was
I'll do it for the lovers. Fine, I'll go on tour with you.
yeah,
Just
sure.
for Lindsay.
I can make it work. I can
I'll
do a
move
few
some things
weeks.
around, but
Yeah,
we'll
yeah.
make it work.
How do you manage, like, keeping up the YouTube channel and touring? Like, do you vlog on tour? Like, is that something you've done before?
I have vlogged on tour, and then I just used that footage to make like a tour music video.
Collage, yeah.
Yeah, like a little montage moment. I probably wouldn't this time around. I do think it like kind of takes me out of it because when I'm
Right.
filming, I'm like, what would they like to see? And
Oh, I
then
never think about
I'm
that.
always like looking through a lens, and I'm like, why don't I just actually like enjoy this for myself? Some things I
Right.
want to keep for myself. I'm
Right.
tending to be a little more selfish in like experiences where I'm like, before I would have thought this would make a great YouTube video, and now I'm just like, I'm just gonna enjoy it for me.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
What would they like to see? I've never thought about that once in my life. It's like, what would I like to see? I'm going to
Oh
watch
my
this vlog
God.
more than anyone.
That's great. Keep doing
Okay,
that.
good. And then thinking about editing too, editing on the road, like having to bring the laptop and then you're sitting in the van and I get car sick. Do you get car sick at all?
Not really. I probably wouldn't edit on the road, though. I would just wait
Right.
till I got home and just have
Oh, okay.
all this footage and probably
Footage.
never edit it. You know, because I'm like, I'm out of it now. I don't want to relive it. Make me
Right.
sad. I miss the road.
I know that that post-tour depression is very real.
Yeah.
It makes you sad.
Makes a little teary.
It makes me think about Kansas.
I miss it. Hate it,
How
but you love it.
I love it. I was like the whole time I was like, can I just get a fucking piña colada? Is there not one
Yeah.
place in Kansas that makes a piña colada? Like, I was like the worst like Californian, like, where can I get a fucking piña colada here? Yeah, that was
That's
bad.
funny.
I know. What's your favorite song on Below the Salt and why? I wonder if you can tell which questions aren't mine and are theirs. Yeah.
Maybe Firestarter and Be Your Own Muse. I feel like they're the most like personal songs. A lot of the other songs on the album are like stemmed from experience, but then like are fictitious and you
Right.
try and make it thematic, so you're like, well, let's add this whatever. Songwriting tips for
We could
you.
talk craft. Go ahead, yeah.
But yeah, probably Firestarter or Be Your Own Muse. I like those ones.
Be Your Own Muse, is that one of those things you kind of saw somewhere, or that's a great title and a great
I don't know if I
philosophy.
saw it
Like,
anywhere.
where is it? How did that come about? How did that song come about?
I was just really sad.
Right.
It was like I was kind of at a turning point where I was like, I need to be okay being by myself and being
Right.
alone. And so I was like, I'm just gonna be my own muse.
And
And I wrote the song.
when did you write that song?
Probably end of 2017.
Oh, so that one's been around for a
I
little
think it
while
was the
then.
first one I wrote for the album. Without thinking it was an album. It was the first song that I wrote that ended up on the album.
Okay, that's what I was also gonna ask. Did you just write, because this is like your debut, you have this large collection of songs where these are just
Yeah.
a stockpile and then you pick the best, 10 or so?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And I like that. But if we circle back to reviews, I remember this one review
Right.
I did read that was like, it's not very co consistent. Like, I didn't really like the co it's not cohesive. And I'm like, yeah,
Right.
I know. We know.
There's 2 years of life that
Yeah,
was
it's like
lived on this record.
it's just experiences and
Right.
thoughts and shit posts. Like, in it doesn't matter. There's no cohes there's never any
Yeah.
cohesivity. Whatever.
Yes.
Cohesiveness.
Cohesiveness, yeah. That's always the craze to those reviewers, man. They say the exact, it's like, it's so this. It's like, yeah, I did that on purpose.
Yeah,
It's
man.
supposed to be that
Obviously.
way.
Yeah.
That's why you're feeling that way. I'm
I
making you feel
love making
feelings.
you feel stupid.
But then you never respond. I don't
Yeah.
know. It's like, there's not enough energy to like make a video and be like, here's why this guy is a fucking idiot. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
It's so hard. And
it
like,
doesn't. Who
I don't
cares?
know. That's another thing I want to talk about. Like, so how do you, I don't know how you, Okay, how do I phrase this? Hold on, give me a second.
Take your time.
You know, on the internet, people will praise and praise and praise, but there'll be the one comment that's negative. And then for me, that one's the one that sticks out. And I'm thinking about that one all the time. How do you deal with that?
Well, yeah, I mean, that happens too, because like, it's funny when you see so many positive comments and you're just like, anyway.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, why aren't I not taking those like more seriously and being like, thank you so much. But like, I'm looking for like the negative one, because I'm like, this can't be that great, you know? And so then when you see the negative ones, you're like, there, I knew you were in there somewhere. And then now you're like analyzing, and you're like, okay, that's stupid. That's wrong. And I just want to like have an argument in my head.
And like, in a way, you kind of feel like, oh, they know the real me. They're right.
Yeah. They're like, okay, I've been exposed.
They know my weakness.
Yeah. And it's just, it's more, I mean, it's obviously not ideal, but it is more fun to like read those ones, because the nice ones, I don't know, this isn't me taking it for granted or anything, but all I can think about responding is just like, thank you. You know, totally. Like, I'm just like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you. I'm glad you think that. Thank you so much. But like, the other ones, I'm like, no, and this is why, and and actually, that's wrong, but whatever.
Yeah, totally.
You know, there's more to say to the negative ones. There's more to like analyze and to think about, but obviously I don't want them.
And then I spend my whole day thinking about that.
And then you just, yeah.
I had one TikTok that went, you know, I don't do the word viral, and it didn't go viral, but it did decent numbers, more numbers than I'm used to. But that invites, like, especially are you on TikTok?
I am, but I haven't posted anything.
It just invites,
I'm a fly on the wall.
Invites strangers who don't like you, like, cause you're just popping up on random people's feeds.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm experiencing some of the weird, like, this guy's an asshole. It's like, you don't know who I am. Like,
yeah, TikTok is such a weird app. I think it's like the first app that you don't need to follow anyone.
Right.
To like keep up with it. You just like literally don't have to follow anyone, and you'll still get content that you enjoy.
It's the biggest.
Or that you hate.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's super weird, because every other account is usually like about the numbers and you want to get followers. But like, I don't think it matters. Unless you're the one making the content, I guess. But
yeah, if you want,
as a viewer, like, you don't need to follow anyone necessarily.
Yeah, you don't need to. That FYP, that For You page, will just
For You page
pump you content.
Exactly, and keep you satisfied.
Oh man, TikTok is a crazy place. It's such a time suck. My girlfriend was saying that, like, when she's on TikTok, her Fitbit will think she's sleeping.
That's funny.
And we're trying to figure out, like, what is that?
Yeah, it's, that's like, you weird. Go,
your heartbeat drops.
Your resting
so low.
Heart
your
rate.
Heart is like so low because you're just mindlessly scrolling.
Totally.
And I'm trying to think about why that happens. And
that's strange.
Is that healthy? I don't know if that's healthy.
We all just die as we go into like a spiral, and we don't know.
I'm just like, and I have like the worst TikTok song. I don't know. I have this one TikTok song stuck in my head. And it changes, like, it's the one that's American Boy, but it has this little kid on there, and he's singing about Fortnite.
Oh, I haven't come across that.
I will email it to you. Oh, it's like, it no. has.
You don't have to.
It's weirdly satisfying, this little kid's voice singing about Fortnite to the tune of American Boy by Estelle.
And Kanye West. Yeah, that's a good one.
Speaking of Kanye, do you have any thoughts on Kim Ye divorcing?
I think it was inevitable.
Really?
I think so.
Do you like that kind of stuff? Do you like Keeping Up with the Kardashians, kind of reality TV show like that?
I've never watched it, but I do keep up with them.
Hey.
In daily life sometimes. I mean, I don't know. They're it's interesting to watch, but like, I don't think they need it. There's like that whole controversy that came out with Kendall starting her tequila brand that I read about this morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, interesting.
And
I like to watch things burn sometimes.
Travis Barker with Kourtney Kardashian. Thoughts on that?
Oh, really?
Yes, they're dating.
Interesting. Hey, let them do their thing.
I like that couple. I'm not going to lie to you. I was a big Blink-182 fan growing up. And
that's random.
I like it.
How did they come across each other? Was she like, I love your music?
I love Boxcar Racer. Yeah.
She's like, I'm a huge Blink head. No way.
I don't know. Were you a Blink 182 fan growing up? What kind of music did you listen to growing up?
Really bad music.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to remember because I only remember like the bat being like embarrassed.
Right.
And I'll hear a song and be like, oh my God, I was obsessed with that song when I was a kid. A lot of just influenced by whatever maybe my mom was listening to, and she like loves Michael Bublé and like country.
Right.
I never had like one band that I was like diehard fan of. I just listened to a lot of songs.
Did you go to any concerts?
Yeah, I went to a Black Eyed Peas. I did love Black Eyed Peas. I loved Black Eyed Peas. Like Hilary Duff, Avril Lavigne.
Yes.
Loved them.
These are good things. These are not. Yeah. Avril Lavigne. Avril Lavigne, skater boy era?
Absolutely.
Okay. We're talking about that era.
That's the only one that matters.
Not the hey, you, I don't like your boyfriend era.
Good too, though.
We're finding it. Okay. Black Eyed Peas. Yeah. Iconic.
Yeah.
I got a feeling. I think that might have came out after my senior year, but that might have been like a big song that year.
I think that was like, 2011, 2012.
Oh, okay. Then I was definitely out of high school then. I'm trying to think about what the big song in high. Oh, Lollipop by Lil Wayne, 2008. That was like the big song of my senior year.
Oh, I remember that song.
Yeah.
A classic.
It makes me feel weird and I'm embarrassed. I was like a huge Newfound Glory fan. I was like, really? Yeah. Now I look back and I'm embarrassed by that. Or Switchfoot. I like loved Switchfoot.
I loved Switchfoot. And I only recently found out they were a Christian rock band.
Really?
I didn't know. But I should have picked up when they were like the entire soundtrack of A Walk to Remember. Yeah. I should have known then. But I didn't. Because I didn't know. Like I didn't pick up on like, you know, hidden messages in literature or music. Cause I was just like, I like that the girl and the guy fall in love.
They just dared me to move. And I did.
Dare you to move. Man, they're good.
They're good.
They're so good. And they had that. Good. Didn't they do? Oh wait, never mind. I was like, they did this cover of Dancing in the Moonlight, but I think that was a different band.
Oh.
And it was so good. And I was like, who wrote this?
I love that song.
Yeah.
I heard another cover of that song for like a beer commercial. And that's the kind of thing that bothers me. I was like, just use the original song. Pay the original band. Like,
yeah. What?
I feel like it's a way that they don't have to pay the original band their expensive price. Okay. Let's just find a cover.
We pay and license this.
License the cover. But that's definitely one of those. Yeah. Switchfoot was huge for me. I don't know. But I think it's okay. I think it's like part of your growing up. Like, like these random bands that maybe people don't like anymore. And
yeah, I think that I was just someone who really liked top 40 when I was like middle school. You know, I just like listened to what's popular because I was like, these are good songs for a reason. We're listening to them, I guess. I guess we're all listening to them. So
did you grow up connected to any religion or anything like that growing up?
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
So that's probably why I didn't pick up on any like,
that's what I was thinking too. Yeah. What?
I don't know.
He just loves God.
Yeah.
That's
this guy
cool.
loves God.
This guy loves God. That's
Man, I'm going to listen to them right after this.
No, yes. Yeah. I had Live in San Diego, their DVD. That was crazy.
Amazing.
I want to get that. Oh, maybe I should email him to be on the podcast. He has like a solo album coming out.
Really?
Yes.
Mr. Switchfoot?
The dude Switchfoot. I don't know his name. I think
Jonathan
it's like
Switchfoot?
I actually think his name is John. I think
really?
It is. Yes.
Yeah. Beautiful.
This is where I need like a producer to like pull it up. I need like my own like person on the
side. Someone behind the scenes, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I need. Okay.
That'll be fun.
We have been talking for an hour. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Oh, I might have some other questions. Is it weird that my comfort YouTube experience is backlogging all your old videos? That's another question someone had. Is that weird?
Not weird. Not weird. Give me those ad views, baby.
Why do people keep posting pics of you not answering FaceTimes?
I have not noticed that. Maybe okay. There's a theme happening. I'm just not paying attention.
Hey, these are just the questions I got. I'm sending them your way. how does she approach her solo work versus work with Babe Corner? No, sorry.
Babe Corner?
Yeah.
Well, Babe Corner, all the songs, at least as of now, are usually just written by Lindsay, and she'll bring them to us and we just learn them and contribute if we have any more ideas.
Right.
Which is cool. It's fun taking like a complete backseat creatively and just kind of like being a part of a band.
Totally.
And just like playing music and enjoying it and not feeling like, I mean, I don't want to just put it all on her shoulders, but like it, right. it is her project. So I'm like, I'm just here for the ride. I'm just
You're happy to be here.
Yeah. I'm just happy to be here. And solo. Yeah. Just, it's a burden I bear.
Is that nice though? Just to be like, I'm just here. I'll put my little spice onto your
totally,
track.
Totally. Totally. Like,
but I don't have to think about booking shows. I don't have to think about like doing all this other stuff.
Yeah. Or even just like writing the music. I'm like, I already do that. I don't want to do it again.
Right now.
I mean, I'm sure we'll get to a point where we're like more collaborative because just that might happen. Evolution.
Do you sing in that band too? You sing backups or anything?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
We usually just like roll with 3-part harmony.
Do you tour with that project as well?
We haven't yet.
Okay.
Yeah, it's still just homegrown.
Yeah, is it a new project or how long have you been doing Babe Porn?
I've been in it for 2 years, but it is just like a lot of local shows.
Right.
And just kind of building an audience, which is fun being in a band like from the ground up.
Right.
And seeing how we grow. We were just in the studio the past week recording the newest release EP. So that was fun.
That's cool. I guess I haven't checked out that project yet. Like, is there a lot of records out?
We just have one EP out.
Okay.
That came out last year. And this one, I don't know when it's set to release, but we just finished recording it and it's
exciting.
Really fun.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What are your top three? I can't read. I did graduate high school, but I can't read. What are your top three unpopular opinions?
Or no. I don't know. I kind of am a little bit of a sheep.
Okay.
Unpopular opinion.
I'm trying to think of one too to make.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to. I can't think of anything because I have to pee.
Oh, okay.
It's like if someone says one, I'll be like, me too.
yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I think that as well.
Unpopular opinion. I didn't like Avatar.
Oh, wait, the show or the movie?
The movie.
Okay, good. I thought you were talking about the TV show.
The show's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the movie. I didn't get the hype. I don't understand why it sold so many movie tickets. Yeah.
Oh, I think Bridgerton is awful.
Really?
Yeah,
I'm seeing a lot about it, so I gotta.
Yeah, it's very popular and everyone likes it.
Right.
And I can't watch it. Like I physically can't bring myself to watch. I watched maybe 2 episodes, and I was like, this is truly unwatchable to me.
Mm.
So there you go.
Well, okay. Awesome. There you go. Okay, well, let's wrap this up. You can go pee. And what's the best way for people to support Haley Blay in this moment?
Stream my music, buy my album if you want to buy a vinyl. I got some nice merch with my niece's face all over it, and I'm exploiting her youth. just listen to my music if you want to.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thanks so much for hanging out and being on.
Thank you for having me. It was very fun.
Yeah, talk to you soon.
Okay, do I just hang?